This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the cattle markets for the week ending on June 18th. Well, cattle markets had their own share of volatility this week, some of it influenced by extreme volatility in the grain complex, but also seeing some cash markets finally start to break loose and the feedlots finally start to participate in the massive margins held by the packers. So this week, cash trade settled early, right around 123. That's up 3 on the week. Dress trade around 196 would be up 5. The northern part of the country saw a lot of 124 to 125 cash trade. Southern plains mostly around the 122 cash. So the average came in right around 123. Box beef continuing to erode as we had the choice down another 297. So we're sitting at 324. Select was down 363 at 284. The spread was up 66 cents at 39.67. 87 loads were moved on Friday. So the spread is at a record wide range, and box beef values continue just to buckle. We were down about 6 days in a row here now, and we've dropped since the high at around 339 last week. We're sitting at 324, so that's a $15 drop just in, you know, a week and a half. Similar to that is the select, dropping a little bit more. In fact, they had a high of 310 on June 10th. They're sitting at 284 now. So in 6 days, they've dropped 26 cents. So $26 or cents, whatever way you want to look at it. So we see with the choice select spread doing what it's doing, suddenly there's an incentive for feedlots to put on more weight to capture that higher premium for heavier cattle. Plus, at the same time, not only have corn prices dropped a lot, but there's more feed availability with the harvest of hard red winter wheat. Moving now into Kansas, there's much more feed grain available in the pipeline. So suddenly packers actually have to pay up for cattle, something they have not had to do for months. The feedlots have been front-loaded for months and have struggled to stay current, struggled to find a slaughter slot, and yet now all of a sudden the tables have turned. Packer margins have been around $1,000 a head, if you can even imagine that. So to lose a couple hundred a head is not that big of a deal. It sounds like a big deal until you see what the actual numbers are and you're like, well, okay. So that finally has turned. At the same time, however, we're seeing some significant demand destruction at the grocery store level, with box beef values as high as they were and retail prices as high as it was. We kind of expected to see that. And then, of course, heading into the summer, when you tend to see beef demand drop anyway, that was not a good combination. And I think that's what we're seeing here with box beef, that, you know, being down 6 days in a row and seeing a pretty significant drop in the values of both choice and select, that's what's happening at the retail level. So cash trade moving higher because packers need to keep the animals moving, but, and of course they have enormous wiggle room in their margins, but it does suggest that the consumer is responding, and you know, the last thing you want to see is demand destruction. So, you know, how this all plays out remains to be seen. We certainly did not get that next push down in the futures market for both either lives or feeders that I was looking for here about a week ago. That completely turned around when we saw cash trade start to work its way higher and the packers finally having to give in a little bit. So cattle, you know, fed cattle or live cattle prices shot higher, testing the highs from this spring, and feeder cattle basically doing the same thing. So it's an impressive run. Question is, you know, can you maintain that upper momentum? Thursday's trade saw the market take a pretty big hit along with many other commodity markets. So was that just a one-off, or is that a shot across the bow that we've kind of done all we're going to do on the upside? Feeder cattle have a lot of reasons that they could continue to move higher. Corn prices are under pressure. Rains across the southern plains have recharged pastures. Demand for calves is huge, with feedlots getting some leverage here and also having plenty of pen space available. They are looking at increasing their demand for calves. At the same time, there still seems to be some demand for pasture calves. So, you know, the feeder cattle index has done quite well through this whole thing. That was up another 93 cents at the end of the week. So we're sitting at 141.28, which is up a couple bucks from where we were here about a week ago. So that is certainly encouraging. Ultimately, you know, we'll see what, you know, the Fed trade does, but just the, you know, the outlook is just so much more bullish once we get into the fall and especially the winter. You know, the herd size is clearly declining and has been for a couple of years. This drought induced movement of cattle off pastures in the northern plains and what's left in the far west, we're just continuing to see herd liquidation, which poses some notable problems for feedlots and packers down the road that you just are not going to have the numbers available to place and slaughter. So that's the longer term outlook for cattle is certainly turning more positive. It was just right in front of us where we had the summer coming up, intense heat, and, you know, feedlots that just struggled to get current or stay current. It looked like we were going to get that pushed down into the summer to kind of set some longer term lows. Looks like we kind of already did that with the JBS hack. The market kind of had that one day just plummet down, and then it snapped right back up and just kept going up. So it's pretty impressive price action about the lives and the feeders. So I would look for probably the markets to pull back from here, because again, you've tested long-term highs, the market is stalling out. You are looking at, you know, with the market due for a correction. I expect that corn and beans will take another leg up as we get into July. Obviously, that's not going to be supportive for the feeder cattle market or the live cattle, I think, ultimately at that point anyway. So we'll see where this all heads out. But I think, you know, we're turning the tide as far as from a bearish market in cattle to more of a bullish market. I just was expecting one more good push down into the summer. We still may yet get that, but at this point, because we've rallied so far, likely all we would end up doing is just testing the lows that were put in on that JBS jab down, which is kind of what I was looking for anyway, just a retest of it, but we didn't get that. If we get another push down in the summer, that likely would hold the market. That is going to turn out to be, I think, some longer term lows. And in fact, the lows from this spring in early May were just slightly below that JBS washout. And it's possible maybe that just was the test of a major low. It's hard to say. But where feeders went this week is right at the front months at 160 is some longer term resistance on the weekly chart. So that's why I think, well, we're probably going to stall out here, come back down, test some gap areas that were left on the way up, kind of clean that up. But depending on what grains do for the month of July in particular, I think we'll set the tone for feeder cattle. But again, longer term, wherever we kind of settle out as far as the downside, I think we're turning the corner, and optimism is certainly there. The economy is in much better shape than we were just a few months ago. So there's a lot of reasons to think that the cattle market will do much better as we get into the fall and then over the next couple of years, unless we get another left field, something happens where you just crunch the economy. But aside from that, things do look more promising as we get into the fall and winter. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.